Okay, so I'm here with Mikael Haneke, who is the writer and director of The White Ribbon, along with Robert Gray, who is going to be helping out with translation. Mikael, how are you doing?
Yeah, good. Müde.
Okay. I wanted to start with a rather elaborate question that ties into the overall themes of your work. In Funny Games, you have a scenario in which we don't actually understand the motivations of the two killers. Cachet, same thing. The actual motivation behind the videotapes are not entirely spelled out. And of course, in The White Ribbon, we have a similar situation in which it's more about the consequences than it is about the origins. And I'm curious why your films tend to not dwell upon the origins of terrible acts as opposed to the consequences. Maybe we could just start with that. Do you think that looking for the root cause of human behavior is a folly, or at least with these particular characters in your film?
Also in früheren Filmen kommt es auch vor, dass man die Motivation, die Gründe, warum Leute gewisse Taten ausführen, nicht erklärt werden. Warum in Cachet es gemacht hat, wer in Cachet die Videos geschickt hat, das wird nicht erklärt. In diesem Film geht es weniger um die Grundmotivation, eher um die Erklärung oder die Konsequenzen, was die Konsequenzen sind. Heißt es, dass wir die Grundmotivation nie wissen können, warum Menschen handeln, oder ist es etwas, das sich nicht interessiert?
Das Mainstream-Kino gibt immer auf alle Fragen, die es stellt, sofort eine Antwort, damit der Zuschauer wieder beruhigt nach Hause gehen kann. Ich finde, wenn Film eine Kunstform sein will, müsste sie, wie die anderen Kunstformen auch, dem Zuschauer mehr Freiheit geben. Das heißt, mehr die Möglichkeit geben, sich selber seine Gedanken und seine Empfindungen mit einzubringen. Und ein Mittel, das zu provozieren, ist eben die Fragen nicht selber zu beantworten, sondern den Zuschauer dazu zu bringen, dass er sich versucht fühlt, sie zu beantworten. Ich sage immer, Film sollte wie eine Sprungschanze sein, die man gut bauen muss, damit man springen kann, aber springen sollte der Zuschauer.
Mainstream cinema always raises questions only then to provide immediate answers so that the spectator can go home with feeling reassured. But I think if film takes itself seriously as an art form, then like every other art form, it has to allow the spectator a certain freedom, a certain possibility of investing themselves, of grappling with the issues that are involved, of bringing their own feelings and explanations to the work that they're receiving. I always say that film, not only film, but every art form should provoke the spectator so that they feel motivated. The film work has to be constructed in such a way that the spectator is led to invest themselves, to search for their own answers. I always say that a film, but not only films, books too, are like ski jumps. They have to be built in such a way that people can jump properly, but the film is the ski jump and it's up to the spectator to jump.
This raises two interesting questions. The first being, should we accept this movie then as a depiction of life if it is all about the spectator's reaction to the film? And second, there are numerous semiotics in this film that point the spectator in the right direction. You indicated at the press conference that you had a great respect for the spectator, and I think of a couple of moments in The White Ribbon. For example, you have the woman who's approaching the window, you see the bust right behind her, so it's a clue that the spectator should also look in that particular direction. Likewise, with The Birdcage, which turns out to be a more seminal plot component later on in the film, we are led to believe that there is some purpose for these symbols being there. So given what you have just said in relation to this should be all about the spectator finding her own interpretations, what are your comments on this? How much should you really be leading in this dance between you and the spectator?
I'm sorry, I just want to ask, I didn't understand what you meant about the scene at the window.
Oh, there's a scene where it's early on in the film where I'm trying to remember the actual character, but she walks and the camera follows her, and she you see her head, and you see right behind her there's a bust that matches exactly her head, and so that's what I meant by that.
Good, thank you. Also du erzählst das du dem Zuschauer eine möglichst große Freiheit gibst, wobei es trotzdem gewisse Sichtpunkte gibt, gewisse Richtungsanweisungen. Zum Beispiel denk an die Szene, wo ein Mädchen zum Fenster geht und rausschaut und gleich hinter ihr gibt es eine Plastik, eine Figur von einem Kopf. Und so wird der Blick vom Zuschauer in eine gewisse Richtung gewiesen. Gleichzeitig gibt es am Anfang oder die Szene mit dem Vogel, als ein Junge zu seinem Vater, zum Pastor, einen Vogel bringt. Das hat nachher ist für die Handlung und die Geschichte wichtig, aber am Anfang in dieser Szene scheint es ein Symbol zu sein. Also inwiefern gibst du für die Zuschauer Andeutungen? Inwiefern richtest du oder entscheidest du, wie der Zuschauer den Film aufnehmen soll? Über wie viel Freiheit verfügt der Zuschauer?
Ja, der Zuschauer verfügt im Film über relativ wenig Freiheit im Allgemeinen, weil ihm der Film ja im Gegensatz zur Literatur, wo die Bilder im Kopf des Lesers entstehen, nimmt ja der Film erstmal dem Zuschauer die Bilder weg und setzt die Bilder des Regisseurs an dessen Stelle. Und natürlich kommt man nicht drum herum, wenn man eine Geschichte erzählt, bestimmte Andeutungen zu machen, Angebote zu machen, die der Zuschauer dann in seiner Weise interpretieren kann. Und natürlich muss man diese Angebote so machen, dass sie in Summe einen Handlungsablauf ergeben. Nur die Interpretation dieser Handlung sollte nicht vorweggenommen werden.
Of course, the spectator has very little freedom when watching a film. First of all, because in opposition to literature, for example, when you're reading a book, then you create the images, they spring up in the recipient's head. He creates them himself. Whereas a film director robs his spectators of those images and replaces them with the director's images. That's unavoidable. But when I tell the story, then I can tell it in such a way that the spectator has to grapple with what's going on and find their own interpretations for them. Spectators have to invest themselves, have to insert themselves in the story. It's true that in order to tell a story, for reasons of plot, then you have to give certain indications. But again, it's up to the spectator to make sense of them.
I also wanted to ask you about one moment concerning Martin. He is walking on the rail of the bridge, and he says, I'm doing this because I want God to test whether I will live or die. This is very interesting to me in light of what you've just said about your role as a director to the spectator, that relationship, because it makes me wonder whether you, as God of this particular film or God of this particular narrative, had spared Martin a early death for this. I'm just curious about what your thoughts are in terms of sympathizing with these characters along these lines.
Also in diesem Film bist du doch der Gott und es ist du, der entscheidest, ob Martin in dieser Szene stirbt oder lebt.
Das ist immer so. Bei jedem Film und bei jedem Buch ist der Autor der Schöpfer und das ist ja die Rolle Gottes, die Schöpfung.
You're right, but in every film and in every novel it's the author who's the creator and it's creator is God.
Das ist... Aber er kommt sozusagen da auf die Wurzeln der menschlichen Freiheit. Wie weit bin ich als Geschöpf für mich verantwortlich und wie weit bin ich nur ein Werkzeug einer höheren Macht? Das ist eine theologische Frage, über die will ich mich hier nicht auseinandersetzen.
That's one of the basic questions of human existence. To what extent am I as a human creation responsible for my actions, and to what extent am I simply the tool of a higher power? But that's a theological debate that far exceeds the scope of our discussion.
Okay. Well, I'll try to keep things rather limited. Actually, I wanted to ask you about the scene with the Baroness, in which she's trying to leave with her children, and she confronts the Baron. She says that she fell in love with another man, but that she didn't have sex with him. Now, this is interesting on a couple of levels because it could be looked at in one of two ways. The Baroness may be lying about committing adultery, and she may be committing deceit, or she may be telling the truth about her feelings, and the Baron is actually denying her the truth of her inherent human nature. He says, only leave when I say so. But in either case, the escape from her domestic situation is denied. So the question is, does it really matter whether the Baroness is telling the truth or not? Does the problem come down to this basic denial of human nature? Is it a fight or flight situation? This sort of ties into, I suppose, a more limited version of the theological debate, and we'll try to do it the best we can in the time we have.
Michael, es tut mir leid, ich habe die Frage nicht verstanden. Hast du sie verstanden? I'm really sorry, excuse me, but I didn't understand the opposition, the Baroness's two choices. Oh, yeah. Either she's lying or she's telling the truth, but I'm sorry, would you mind just repeating that for us?
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Till this moment, I understood also if she's lying or not, but what was the question afterwards?
Oh, yeah, the question was, in either case, whether she's lying or not, she's being denied the escape. So as such, she's not allowed to escape either way. So the question is whether her ability, whether she's telling the truth or not, actually matters to the situation. If it's your viewpoint that this is reflective of her inherent nature, which is to escape the Baron, is really what's at issue here more than actually what she's saying in that particular scene, in terms of whether she's telling the truth or not.
In dieser Szene ist es wichtiger, dass sie einfach den Baron entkommen will, dass sie fliehen will. Ist das wichtiger, als ob sie die Wahrheit sagt oder nicht?
Das hängt davon ab, was der Zuschauer empfindet. Also es wird Zuschauer geben, die glauben, dass sie lügt. Es wird Zuschauer geben, die glauben, dass sie nicht lügt. Wir haben es so gespielt und inszeniert, dass das eben für den Zuschauer offen bleibt. Und es bleibt auch offen, meiner Meinung nach, ob sie weggehen kann oder nicht. Sie war ja in dem Film schon mal weg, also sie könnte theoretisch, sie ist ja die einzige Person, die es sich sozusagen sozial leisten kann, wegzugehen. Die anderen können ja nicht weggehen aufgrund ihrer sozialen Situation. Aber auch das ist eine Entscheidung, die der Zuschauer zu treffen hat. Die Ereignisse zwingen sie schlussendlich da zu bleiben, weil der Krieg ausbricht. Aber das hat sozusagen mit der Frage, ob sie lügt oder nicht lügt, nichts zu tun.
It really depends on the explanation of that, the interpretation of that depends. It's up to each spectator to determine how they see it. Whether she's lying or not isn't really that important. It's we shot it in such a, or we left that open. We shot it in such a way, we staged it in such a manner, and had the actors play the role in such a way that the interpretation, the answer for that would be open. Also, similarly, the film leaves open whether she can leave or not. In fact, she's the only character who's able to leave because of her social status. The other people, because of their lower social status, are more or less imprisoned in their daily lives. And she already has left the estate once before in the film, so it's possible that she could do it again. However, because of the story, because of the outbreak of war, then she is unable to leave. She's a prisoner, has to stay there. But it's really up to the individuals to decide whether she's lying or not, up to spectators.
Yeah. I wanted to ask about the nature of these acts within the film themselves. They tie around occupation. A doctor, someone who has the role to cure society, is the first victim. A teacher, someone with the role to teach society, bears witness to these acts. A farmer, someone who has the role of providing labor to society, must contend with his wife being killed. The Baron, who has the role of employing society, has to endure his son being tortured. So the suggestion here is that many of these crimes are tied into the roles of where one stands within this particular village, and I'm curious if there was any planning along these lines, thinking, I mean, obviously there are clear economic and political forces at work in this film, but if we look at all these crimes individually, there is this indelible association, it seems to me, with where their stance is in society. I was wondering if you can offer some thoughts in relation to that.
Die Misstaten, die stattfinden, sind mit den Standen der gewissen, der verschiedenen Opfern zusammengebunden. Also dass der Arzt ist ein Arzt, der heilen soll, der wird krank, der wird
ja, hat einen Unfall.
Ja, der Lehrer, der lernen soll, der ist der Zeuge, der Bauer, der die Gesellschaft eigentlich futtern soll, seine Frau stirbt, haben die verschiedenen Misstaten gewissen. Und da, ich glaube, dass er eigentlich darauf kommen wird, dass die sozialen Rollen so sehr definiert sind in dieser Gesellschaft, in dem Film. Haben die Misstaten dann irgendeine bestimmte Beziehung mit den Arbeiten der verschiedenen Leute?
Ja, das ist eine Interpretation. Also er kann, wenn er es so sehen will, soll er es so sehen. Aber es gibt natürlich auch Beispiele, die da nicht hineinpassen. Also wenn die beiden Misshandlungen von dem behinderten Kind und von dem Sohn des Barons ähneln sich sehr und die sind kommen aus sehr verschiedenen Ständen.
It's really a question of interpretation. That's one possible interpretation, if you like. But it's not the only one, and there are other situations that don't quite correspond to that schema. Both times that the young children are mistreated in the film, whether it's the son with Down's, the boy with Down syndrome, or the Baron's son, the situations are very similar. But of course, their social standing is entirely different.
Well, that's interesting because the difference seems to be one's role as an adult versus one's role as a child. And I'm curious, based off of the idea that this is an interpretation, a potential interpretation of your film, to what degree your planning of this film would relate or keep things open-ended along these lines, or whether you can truly calculate what the spectator is in fact going to walk away from.
As Schöpfer dieser Welt, als Schöpfer dieses Films, inwiefern kannst du bestimmen, was der Zuschauer vom Film wegkriegt, wie der Zuschauer die Geschehnisse interpretiert, wie er sie sieht?
Ja, ich bemühe mich, die Geschichte so zu konstruieren, dass es möglichst viele Interpretationsmöglichkeiten bietet.
I strive to construct my stories in such a way as to provide the spectator with any number of possible explanations, as possible interpretations.
I wanted to ask about the use of the Z-axis in this film. We often see numerous doorways where we see the sliver of a detail in the background, some person who is there in this very small aperture through in the frame. And I'm curious about this in relation to the fact that, well, we all know that life before World War I was inherently much slower than it is today. And I'm curious if this degree of visual information combined with the considerable chessboard of characters in this movie was a way for you to turn something that was a slower way of life into something that was a slower but also more complex way of life.
Also man sieht oft im Hintergrund Sachen, durch offene Türe zum Beispiel, wo man nur einen Teil von, ein kleines bisschen von dem, was da hinter der Tür steht, sehen kann. Das Leben früher war viel langsamer. Und das Leben in deinen Filmen ist auch langsam, dementsprechend langsam. Aber diese Art zu filmen und durch Türe nur ein kleines bisschen davon sehen zu können, was dahinter steht, soll das eine Komplexität darstellen, das für die Langsamkeit dann irgendwie...
Na, das hat nichts mit der Langsamkeit zu tun, das hat einfach damit zu tun, dass unsere Wahrnehmung in der Wirklichkeit ähnlich ist. Wir sind ja nicht nur fokussiert auf ein Detail, sondern wir nehmen gleichzeitig mehrere Sachen wahr, was das Leben ja auch und das Verhalten im Leben ja auch kompliziert macht. Und ich bemühe mich natürlich immer so der widersprüchlichen Komplexität des Lebens so nahe wie möglich zu kommen. Das hat aber jetzt nicht mit der Geschichte zu tun, sondern das versuche ich in all meinen Filmen.
It's not so much the question of the slowness of daily life, but rather how we perceive things in reality. When in daily life we don't just focus on one thing, there are many things that are going on, and what we perceive at the same time. Life is, our lives and our behaviors in lives are extremely complicated, and there are the complexity is in fact often contradictory. So this providing different elements within the same scene isn't something that's limited to this film, but comes up in all my films.
Okay. I wanted to also ask about the role of the police in your films. For example, in this film, the police investigate what is essentially a dream to try to determine where the crimes, who's responsible behind the crimes. In Cachet, the police are trying to, they don't investigate because there's not enough evidence. And in Funny Games, the police are denied entirely. So this is very intriguing to me. I'm curious if this represents an inherent distrust of authority in your moral vision, or is it simply your wanting to focus upon how these individual characters act as individual characters separate entirely from authority, that police is some construct that gets in the way of these people being who they are, good or bad.
Also die Polizei kommt in verschiedenen Filmen vor. In diesem Film versuchen sie zu untersuchen, aber kommen auf keine Antwort. In Cachet wollen sie gar nicht untersuchen, weil sie nicht genug Beweise haben. Und in Funny Games, dann ist die Polizei eigentlich nicht vorhanden, trotz der grausamen Verbrechen. Heißt das, dass du ein allgemeines Missvertrauen in moralische Autoritätsfiguren hast? Oder heißt es einfach, dass du die Polizei nicht reinbringst, damit man mehr auf die Freiheit der Individuellen innerhalb dieser Gesellschaft funktionieren.
Ja, natürlich geht es in den Filmen weniger um die Aufklärung von irgendwelchen Verbrechen, sondern um die Figuren und um die Entwicklung dieser Figuren. Deswegen hat die Polizei eine eingeschränkte Funktion. Außerdem langweilen mich Polizeifilme, weil Polizisten meistens halt Funktionsträger sind, aber keine Persönlichkeiten und Funktionsträger sind dramaturgisch langweilig. Also ich langweile mich immer in sogenannten Polizeifilmen, wo es nur darum geht, herauszufinden, wer das Verbrechen begangen hat.
I'm less in the reason that the police aren't present is because I'm less interested in finding out the explanation for the crimes, those responsible for the crimes, as much as presenting the characters and the development of the characters. So for that reason, I avoid presenting policemen. But I also find police films, for example, boring because in most of them, the police figures serve a function. They serve a purpose in the film, and that's their only explanation for being there. They're not there as characters, but as dramaturgical constructs. Their only purpose serves to explain who did what, and that kind of film really bores me.
I wanted to also ask you about, there's a scene in Cachet where you have the talk show who is editing, and he says, cut that out, that's too theoretical. Similarly, in this film, we have a very lovely scene where the school teacher is trying to ask for Eva's hand in marriage, and the father says, I'm not much of a talker. The suggestion I'm getting here is that if we went ahead and managed to just do away with all the complicated theoretical bullshit, that we would be able to just become more aware of people as who they are, that theory and elaborate explanations get in the way of inherent human nature. And I'm curious about your response to this.
Also in Cachet will der Talkshow-Host keine theoretische, keine lange, langweilige Erklärungen. Und in diesem Film, wenn der Lehrer um die Hand von Eva bitten will, sagt der Vater von Eva, dass er ungern plaudert, dass das für ihn unnötig ist. Heißt es, dass du meinst, dass diese lange Gespräche, diese theoretische Ansprüche und Auseinandersetzungen doof sind und dass sie uns im Wege stehen und uns verhindern, echte Beziehungen zu haben im Leben.
Naja, wenn sich eine Figur in einem Drama nur über theoretische Äußerungen definiert, ist sie keine Figur, sondern eine langweilige Figur. Man ist ja immer versucht, Situationen so zu konstruieren, dass sie in sich selber funktionieren und keine Erklärung brauchen. Also es ist einfach, wenn zu viel geredet wird, ich meine, es wird in dem Film auch viel geredet, der Erzähler erzählt ja eine ganze Menge, aber in Szenen sollten natürlich erklärende Dialoge möglichst vermieden werden. Ne? Die Geschichte sollte durch die Abfolge sich erklären.
It's rather the case that characters who in scenes explain what's going on, have expositional dialogue are very boring and counterproductive. It's rather the case that you're trying for the events to the story to tell themselves. Difficult to have characters who say too much, who go on at length about theoretical things that the story should present in different ways. However, there is nonetheless quite a bit of dialogue in this film. The narrator speaks quite a bit, but this expositional dialogue should rather be replaced by the construct of the plot, the way the story is told itself.
Also es ist wesentlich filmischer, wenn jemand, wenn die Figur wütend ist und ein Glas in der Hand hat und vor lauter Wut das Glas zerbricht, als wenn er sagt, ich bin aber jetzt wütend.
It's far more cinematographic if you have a character who's angry and he takes up a glass and smashes it to the floor than if that same character were simply to say, I'm furious.
Why do you think that the visual form is more effective at delivering information? I think in The White Ribbon of the many characters who have their backs to the camera, but I also think of the use of heads in this movie. I mean, heads are caught within slats within a staircase. Heads often are lean upon another shoulder. The sense I get is that these characters are just keeping their heads almost in the sand, or they're not using their heads, or they're losing their heads in some sense. And does this, for you, I suppose, I guess, is it a matter of wanting to be as minimalist or as compact as possible by conveying, say, for example, a head disappearing into the frame, as opposed to some long-winded theoretical speech about what the world is and the like, that this is a better way to get the spectator thinking in this interpretive light?
Also warum ist es im Film einfacher, mit Bildern gewissen Elemente zu vermitteln, als durch andere Mittel? Es gibt, denkt an die vielen Aufnahmen, die vielen Bilder von Köpfen, die man durch Holzbrettern auf der Treppe sieht, Köpfen, die sich an Schultern liegen, heißt es, dass die Leute lieber ihren Kopf in den Sand tun, dass sie Angst haben, ihren Kopf zu verlieren. Warum diese minimalistische Methode?
Naja, Film wird in erster Linie natürlich über Bilder erzählt und natürlich versucht man, wenn man eine Situation beschreibt, Bilder zu finden, die diese Situation möglichst effizient zeigen.
Film is told through images and as a filmmaker then you try to find those images that tell the story as efficiently as possible.
Well, with that in mind, let's be as efficient as we can. We're running out of time, but thank you both very much for taking the time out to talk. It's a pleasure.
Thank you.
Great.
I'm coming home, I've done my time.